When Father Leonard and I spoke a few months ago about my visit here today on April the 29th, we talked about the many, many reasons we would be gathering for celebration. As I said to the children a few moments ago, this is the first Sunday after St. George's Day, which was last Monday, a fitting opportunity for us to gather and remember the patron saint of this community, a man that we don't know a whole lot about, St. George, who lived some 1,700 years ago. We know him probably best for the legend of George slaying the dragon, but we also know that he was a soldier in Rome, and he died for his faith, and has been an example to people over the past almost 2,000 years because of his witness to the faith, even in very difficult circumstances. We also knew that we would be gathering today to celebrate the fact that over the last month or so, this parish has come out from under diocesan administration and is standing on its own. You are standing on your own in the life of our diocese in a way that was not the case over the past 12 months. So we have invited back the members of the administration team to give thanks for their ministry among us. We know that some of the members of the Mandarin Fellowship will be confirmed at 4:30 this afternoon at St. James Cathedral by the Archbishop. We know that Morning will be ordained, God willing, as a deacon in the Church of God next Sunday at 4:30 at the cathedral. And all of these threads seem to be able to be pulled together into this day, this wonderful day of celebration. And then this week happened. This week in which on the road, on the street, just outside of this building, we saw such tragedy and such carnage. We saw the very worst of humanity and also the best. We saw death, we saw injury, we saw people losing their trust in the society and in certain individuals in society, and all kinds of fear and mistrust floating around. What do we do with this as we gather on this first Sunday after the tragic events of this week? How do we make sense of the terrible loss of life, the violation that we feel in this community and in this neighborhood? Well, I think we have before us some wonderful scripture texts on this St. George's Day to lead the way forward. And in particular today, I want to focus for just a few moments on that wonderful reading from the letter to the Ephesians. Now, we often say in church, Paul's letter to the Ephesians. There's some question about whether St. Paul actually wrote this letter. It may have been someone else who was a part of Paul's group. But whoever it was who wrote it, he or she was writing to a community that was very much under fire, a community that was in the minority, that is, a Christian minority in a wider society of people that did not profess the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so in this letter, we find the author, perhaps Paul, talking about putting on the armor of God. Now, before we give some thought to what that armor looks like and how it is described, think about what armor is and what armor does. Armor is something that we put on to repel an attack or to go into battle. Armor is something that we wear when we know we are getting ready for a fight. And as the ambassador in chains, as we hear about in the final verse of today's reading, whoever was writing this letter to the Christians in Ephesus was perhaps physically imprisoned or imprisoned in some other way, constrained, not able to be out there to defend the community of Christians in Ephesus. And so with some sense of helplessness, we imagine, he writes this letter. But we know that the author of the letter to the Ephesians does not say, put on an armor of metal or steel or anything else. Rather, the author of this letter dares to say something else. Writing to a persecuted church, the author says, when you put on the full armor of God, do this. Fasten the belt of truth around your waist. Put on a breastplate not of metal, but of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on anything that will make you ready to proclaim the gospel, the message of peace. With all of these, take a shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the flaming arrows of the evil one. Put on a helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is not conventional armor in any setting. Rather, it is a particular kind of armor that those who follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ put on in order to face the challenges of the world. Note also that the armor that's listed in this passage is mostly defensive armor, things that when forces come against us that we cannot control, we are able to protect ourselves and those we love. In hearing the many stories this week of the vigils up and down Yonge Street between Finch and Shepherd, of the various people who have been interviewed, perhaps some from this community, one comment stands out in mind. A woman who came to one of the vigils to place flowers and a little teddy bear. And when asked by a reporter, she said, "How I wish I could have been out there on Yonge Street to protect those people." It's like a strange thing to say. How could one person, one woman, protect people from a van that was speeding down the sidewalk at 60 kilometers an hour? How could anyone do that? Well, of course, the answer is nobody could. It would be impossible to protect against that kind of attack. And we saw the carnage of that attack this week. But are there ways that we can protect ourselves and one another? Are there ways that we can act with truth and mercy and peace and love in the world? Are there ways that we can take on that kind of armor? I think that armor has been taken on many times this week in this community. And the strength of this community, this church community, and the wider neighborhood has been evident each and every hour of each and every day. A community coming together in the name of peace and love and mercy and truth. And so we come back to today, to our multiple celebrations. We look around this church today and we see the people that we will be thanking, volunteers in all kinds of ministry, members of the parish administration team. We're recognizing Sister Connie and her ministry here in a particular way today. We look around and see all of these ways in which we uphold people who bear and wear the armor of God into the world each day. And this is encouragement for us, even in a very difficult week. Because we stand here in the Easter season to know that the armor that we need to take on, the only armor we need to take on, is the armor which sets ourselves alongside the one who died for us and rose again, Jesus Christ. That all we need in this world is to walk in the ways of his truth and his mercy and his peace and his love. And as long as we are doing that, we are standing firm in the faith. We are fighting the good fight, as St. Paul says. I have this vision that the armor of God that we hear about today, the armor that we need to wear in order to face the challenges and evils of the world all around us, this is the same armor which will become for us the clothing of new life. That in our resurrection bodies and in the life of the kingdom of heaven, when there is no more sighing and no more crying and no more tears or warfare, that what we will wear is the white robes of those who have been born again into the new life of Christ. And those simple robes will be the robes of mercy and justice and love and compassion. So today we are that new community, even though we live in this world. We are those who try to live into the fullness of Christ here and now. We are those who try to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ wherever we go. May that be the image that we live into today. May those be the clothes that we take on as we seek to continue to live into the fullness of all that God has called us to be. Amen.